Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Whether your radio dial is set to music or news or talk, each could be offensive.
But when it comes to making waves on the air, dicey language and spicy topics are turning up all over the dial. If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Turn on your radio and find wholesome family entertainment. Turn on your radio today and make your mother blush.
Almost nothing is sacred these days when it comes to radio, except not losing the station's license. Radio personalities are pushing all the limits. You may find the language in this story explicit, but the Federal Communications Commission has never fined a Tampa Bay radio station. You be the judge. Are they airwaves or shockwaves?
I don't agree with all of it, but it's very popular.
Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Homemade broadcast episode 477 live stream. My name's Will. This is Anna. Hello, Anna.
Hello. Thanks for having me today.
You are dressed like you are an extra on one of the Predator films. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those franchises.
No, okay. Not my cup of tea. I know this is, I think it's called a real tree.
Okay. You know more than me about that.
Really?
I don't know anything about, it looks like camo. That's the
no,
only
it's
thing.
Not, that's the thing. It's not camo. This is called like, cause it looks like you're really a tree. It's real tree. I think is the print. I could be wrong,
but the,
you know, I'm not,
but the premise, like the premise would be to camouflage yourself. For whatever reason.
Correct. But I don't think it's called camo. It's like, it's called real tree. But yes, the function is the same. Correct.
Okay. So kind of right. We're both right.
Yeah.
We'll take that. 813-693-2124. We're due to live streams every Wednesday, as you can tell, for the time being, however long it lasts. I don't know what's going on in life. Who knows? It changes day to day. Things
you
happen.
You know what? Well, yeah, you're right. The one thing in life that is the same is that it's always changing. It's always changing. And once you start getting comfortable, your shoes, they don't fit anymore.
The only constant is change, right? That's the whole thing. Hello to Scott. Hello to David. They're joining us on the live stream today. Obviously, this can be heard later on podcast, audio only, Sundays at midnight, HMB Radio, and also on Radio St. Pete. There are some Radio St. Pete listeners. Joe Bordeaux, the head honcho over there, sent me an email a few weeks ago from, we got a piece of fan mail. And, that was kind of cool to get that. So we do even have Radio St. Pete listeners. So that's nice. Sundays around 6 o'clock. I think I should know exactly when it airs, but I don't. Okay. But it's around 6 p.m. Sunday nights, and you can get on 96.7 FM if you're in downtown St. Petersburg. Approximately, I tuned in the other day, and the transmitter gets to about downtown, crystal clear. Right around 38th Avenue North, not so good. So it's a very small transmitter, very small outlet, but I love it all the same. So thanks to Radio St. Pete as well. Anna, are you prepared for Taylor Swift? Are you going to Taylor Swift? Do you have your tickets?
The closest I will get to Taylor Swift is the traffic.
Same. Yeah,
but I'm in the area, and I'm going to need to be in Tampa on Saturday, and I'm dreading it because I will run into the Swifties on the road.
That's right.
And I've even looked up what time the show starts to try to schedule my plans around it, but I just feel like because my plans on Saturday include me doing a fitness pole dancing class.
Okay. Is there such a thing?
Yes. It's like a stripper aerobics thing. I mean, not because I'm not going to like strip my clothes off, but there's a pole involved, and are you familiar with one Ty J Armstrong? I feel like you know sports.
Yeah, yeah, former Buccaneer, of course.
Right, so Ty J and Bub are buds, and Ty J's wife, somewhat recently, I want to say in the last 2 years, started a pole dancing fitness center. It's her new passion, and Ty J's been really trying to drive the hammer home and get the ladies of the Bubba Army to take a class, and Bubba was like, oh, it's a great idea, because we could tape it. And so I was like, okay, let's do it. So unfortunately, fortunately it's happening, but unfortunately it's coinciding with Miss Swift, who Mayor Castor's clearly wants to scissor. So it's just, it's crazy is what I'm going to say about that.
I mean, who doesn't? Look at her. Look how pretty she is. I got her up on the screen here. Taylor Swift offered Tampa mayor for a day title. What's that?
Do you find her, like, exceptionally attractive?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
She's pretty, not hot, right? Or a little bit of both? Or mostly pretty and not hot? And also, do you make a distinction between the two?
Definitely a difference. She's clearly quite pretty. She has a very unique look, I would say, about her. I don't know. I think that there are, if I was like God or Jesus, or not that they would use their powers this way, but I would, if I was God and Jesus, I would, select a few ladies that I could get it on with, you know. I think she would probably be up there. Eventually I would get to her maybe in like a year, but, I think that there would be others that I would choose, like many others before her. But I do like she's the biggest star in the world right now. I think even bigger than like Justin Bieber or any of those people.
Well,
I think she's the biggest in the world.
Face, droopy face known as Justin Bieber, I think is out the game. I think he sold all the rights to his music. I don't know if that's
so did she. Can't perform. I think she sold hers early. If I'm not mistaken, she got like 100 mil or something.
Are you sure she sold her whole catalog of music? Cause that's pretty rare for someone that young to, you know, sell the rights to all their music.
I think she did it.
Maybe, I don't remember hearing that, but
let me look it up.
But I'm trying to think who would be bigger. I would say the only person that maybe even rivals her a little bit would be Beyonce, if that's fair to say.
I think she's bigger than Beyonce.
Really?
I think so.
You're right, Will. I mean, she's definitely in the conversation of top two, like, you know, no doubt.
So it's let's see. It says, who owns Taylor Swift's music catalog? By re-recording, Swift is technically covering her own songs as new recordings, resulting in new masters that she fully owns, enabling her to control the licensing of her songs for commercial use, known as synchronization, by evading owners of the older masters and subsequent. Oh my God. So she hustled whoever bought them. Somebody did buy her master tapes in 2020. But
really?
they had some sort of language in there where she can just re-record them and still use them. So she got like a fortune for these old tapes and basically hustled music industry folks out of quite a bit of money. See, she rocks. She rules.
I like her even more.
Yeah.
Maybe I will go to the show. No, I can't. Yeah. How much are tickets? Like $400, $500 for bad tickets?
No, I mean, that's not even in the ballpark. You're talking to get in the door, I think it's like $800 to $1,000. And those are like cheap seats. I have friends that are going all, I think they're here Thursday, is she here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
You're doing three shows in a row, yeah.
So, I mean, I have friends that are going to two of them, like back-to-back nights. Everybody's rich. This is what bothers, like every...
You hung out with this weekend?
Yeah. My friend Nicole's going. Huh?
Is it the two women that I saw in the picture? Not your girlfriend?
I think one of them's going, not the other one. But yeah, I mean, I think you might be able to find them the day of if the bots get desperate, and maybe you could potentially get it for, you know, face value. But I think even face value, they were crazy amount of money to pick them up. Like $500 or something, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I think she even spoke out about this and complained about Ticketmaster and, you know, the way the music industry kind of, you know, hustles their fans. I know one dude who's not very liked right now by some people. Kid Rock is able to keep his concert tickets pretty low, and I think he keeps the concessions really low too, like $5 beers. I don't know if she can control that, but I mean, she managed to swindle her way, swindle $100 million for her master tapes, and is able to just re-record them. So maybe she could do something about that. I don't know. It seems like she's got a lot of power.
I'd say she wields quite a bit of power, certainly. So how do you feel about her coming to Tampa? Are you annoyed by it? Are you annoyed by the buzz? Or do you respect her? You like her music a little bit, even though you don't want to admit that you do, but you kind of like it because everyone kind of likes it because it's catchy.
Yeah, I mean, it's pop. You know, I don't own any of her CDs. I don't own any of her merchandise.
You own CDs?
I have a few CDs, I think.
Really?
Somewhere, okay. Yeah. Like, there's a few CDs. Actually, I don't even know if that's true. I might not own any CDs.
Okay, so.
At all. But, no, I don't own any of her music. I don't listen to it online. If it's on the radio, Shake It Off comes on the radio, then I'd probably keep it on and listen to that. But other than that, no, I'm not a fan. I get the hype, though. I know that people are really excited about it. Much like you, I think my only interaction with the Taylor Swift concert will be traffic. I have to go to a second wedding on Saturday.
You've been to one wedding for this person already?
No, I didn't make the cut for the first wedding. I got the second wedding invite.
Do other people that you know, they got a cut? They made the first cut?
Some people that I know made the first cut, and they will also be going to wedding number two.
It wasn't just like a family deal. Like,
I don't really know, Anna. I can tell you this. I know that some people who are closer to these, this is kind of like a friend of a friend, but I consider, you know, these, at least the groom, my friend, but I wouldn't call him and be like, "What's up, dude? How you doing?" Like, I wouldn't do that. But when I see him, you know, we kind of chit chat and we enjoy each other's company. And
or if you had a question about oncology, you might call him.
Yes. Yeah. So he is like, he's a pretty much lower level royalty, is my understanding, in India. His family's, you know, in the caste system.
A Brahmin.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Real deal. Cat. So he got married a few weeks ago in Nashville at the Country Music Hall of Fame. I don't know what that costs to rent out, but I imagine it can't be cheap.
No.
So I didn't make the cut for that one, which honestly, I'm kind of glad because I'm getting invited to a lot of weddings lately and they're not in town. And I'm going to have to like make some decisions here about what I'm able to do. I only have so much time that I could take off work and
money to spend. Yeah.
Yeah. And only so much money in the bank account. So it's going to have to be something where let's just hope there's no more in 2023. That's the only thing
I can
hope. What
other ones are coming up?
One in September in South Carolina. And
do I know this person?
I don't think so. No, it's my, one of my best friend's sister is getting married. So I want to go to that one.
Cut that out. I think you can cut that one out.
No, I think I got to go. I mean, like the family I'm like very close to.
Okay.
So I think I got to go and I want to go. I would like to go to that wedding. And then there's another one that's my girl's workmate is getting married, but I also really like them. Like they're my friends now. So I want to see them get married. I think that would be fun, but I think that's actually not till January 24. So I got some time for that one.
You got time to kill.
Yeah. So this one, I was kind of glad that I wasn't invited to Nashville where I have to buy a plane ticket and then, you know, arrange lodging and stuff like that. So they had their wedding in Nashville and then they have a tier two friends and family, which I think there's still going to be a lot of people at this thing, at a very nice hotel in Tampa. And I was looking for, rooms at this hotel.
Is it the only 5-star hotel in Tampa? Is it that one?
I don't know. That's a good question. What are you thinking? I'll tell you if you're right. I don't care.
I don't know what it is. I drove past it about 2 weeks ago, and I was informed that that is the only, like, it was pointed out that that was the only 5-star hotel in Tampa. And we looked up the prices because I'm a Jew. And on the low end, it was like $1,000.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, that's the one, because
that's probably what it
was. That's what I was looking at. And, I was like, okay, well, that's out of the question. I'm not doing $1,000 hotel room.
No,
I live across the bridge here. I'll just, you know, take an Uber.
I'll just drive drunk, thanks. DUI's cheaper, thanks.
I'll just take an Uber, you know? And then I go, oh my God, it's Taylor Swift weekend in Tampa. I'm not going to be able to get an Uber.
Dude, no. And if you are, it's going to be like $500.
Yeah. Do they still do that? Because I know that the surge pricing, they call it, I know they got into some,
I can't remember what happened. I think it was like over New Year's Eve and people were driving drunk to try to avoid charges and people died. And so I don't quite remember, but I do know that the prices are going to go up.
Oh yeah. I know that I pay my daytime boss's Amex bill. And I know that he went to, this was when it was the surge pricing was like at its peak. And, you know, you go to those things and you drink and you may overserve yourself from time to time. And then you got to get home. So you just push buttons and you go, whatever, I got to get home. And there was a charge for $700 to go from the stadium in Tampa, Amalie Arena, head all the way to not Orlando, not Jacksonville, not anything like that. Just like Madeira Beach, Florida, just down the road, a half an hour ride costs $700 plus, I believe.
Fly there. I mean,
yeah. Get a helicopter. So
if we can spitball some ideas, because when it comes to saving money, nobody has, you know, their spidey senses more up and on than I do. What about like a neighboring hotel? Maybe there's a Best Western down the block, you know?
Well, here's the thing, is even that there are people traveling from other parts of the, you know, probably country, but also definitely the state. There's probably people from Orlando, Miami that are coming to Tampa to see Taylor Swift. So I don't even know if that's a good option. Because, you know, the rooms are going to be at a maximum. Now, I will tell you, I shouldn't spoil this because I know you're thinking about it. I did get a room. However, I did find a way to get it cheaper. They were nice enough to kind of block off an area of rooms and doing some investigation. See, I didn't know this. They didn't put it on the invitation. But I kind of went to some other people, kind of went through some other channels and found out that there was, in fact, some rooms that were blocked off. Now, I don't know if I was supposed to know that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like maybe I might have taken what's a good Indian name? Dashina's room.
Priyanka.
Priyanka's room. Poor Auntie Priyanka can't get a room now because I scooped her room block.
Right.
But I had the code. I did my due diligence. I found the code and I got the room for much cheaper. It was still expensive. I mean, for one night.
No. Well, can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
600?
No. Not even close. Now I feel good. It was a little like
350?
It's like just a little bit under 3. So I don't know I know, right? That's good. I think
you probably don't want to tell me what the hotel is, but you can text me it later. I'm curious as to, is it at the host hotel?
It is.
The hotel where the wedding's at?
Yes.
So you know it's going to be, that's pretty pimp, dude. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I got a very nice room. Like I said, I think I stole Auntie Priyanka's room, but also I'm going to deal with those consequences later. I'm just hoping that nobody's, you know, going to find out until after, if at all. Hopefully nobody finds out at all.
Like, I didn't get a deal.
Yeah, just a lot. Well, I mean, there's audio and video of me admitting
that wasn't me.
that wasn't your wedding. I went to 2 weddings this weekend.
Deny, 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 deny.
That's right. So I feel like I got ahead on this deal, but also, I mean, it's expensive to, it shouldn't be hundreds of dollars to attend a local wedding, but I guess like that's just what it is. I mean, I guess maybe it is. It is a true burden to put on people to invite someone to your wedding.
I think it's rude to have a wedding. Is that
I don't
you know, like there's a, 'cause here's the thing, like if there's a certain amount of distance between you and a person, like I was invited to a wedding in September in Denver. I'm going. I'm very excited to attend. It's going to be great because I will be seeing people I haven't seen in a long ass time. So that's cool. See you guys later.
Anna's got some house guests.
I got some house guests. So yeah, it's going to be great. But I am a safe enough distance away from this person that if I decided to not want to go or couldn't afford it, she would understand. And I honestly don't think she would care that much because I got the invitation yesterday, actually. And once again, Will, once again, guess who's not getting a plus one?
I'm assuming you.
This is like the third time this has happened in about a year and a half where I have not gotten a plus one to a wedding. And I've made it a point to like reach out to the person just to make sure like I'm seeing things correctly. And they're like, we just were on a budget. And no one understands budgets more than me, Will. I get it. But now you want me to go to this wedding in Denver, essentially alone. Fine. That's cool. But yeah, when you were very close with someone and you decide you're going to start doing extravagant stuff for your wedding, whether it be a bachelor party, bachelorette party, whatever, you are a burden. You are a burden because it's like, for example, I'm going to a bachelorette party in Idaho and then 2 months later, I'm going to Denver. Now it's my prerogative. I don't have to go. So I will take full ownership and responsibility.
Wait a minute. Sorry. Don't mean to stop you, but this is not just like a wedding that you're invited to. It's kind of like a, peripheral kind of maybe bottom of the list person. You're actually going on the bachelorette party and you're not getting a plus one.
Correct.
That's not acceptable. Unacceptable. That's garbage.
And here's the thing. It's kind of weird because like I want to agree with you, but also I want to defend my friend. Now, to be fair, there's a big list of biatches on this bachelorette party. It's not like just 2-3 chicks. I mean, it's in the ballpark of like 13 people.
That's too much. It's not what kind of wedding party is that? It's like, I don't know what the max is, but definitely not over 10. I mean, I think like
it's
6.
At least 12.
Why does she have so many friends? 12.
Well, I think much like, you know, Pokemon Go throughout life, when you start moving around the country, you have friends from childhood and you have friends from college and you have friends from grad school and you have friends or in the city you now reside in. So you kind of pick up all these people that, and it's one of those things, Will, and I'm sure you can relate or maybe you can't, but I'm like a gypsy. I'm always moving around. This is probably this is certainly the longest I've stayed in any one city as an adult by far. But, you know, I lived in Santa Barbara. I lived in Detroit. I lived in Australia. I lived here. So, I totally forgot my train of thought. But what I'm saying is, like, there are people that I feel very close to, even though I'm technically not. Does that make sense? Like, this girl whose wedding it is, we were roommates in college for a couple years. And if you were to be like, is this person a close friend? I'd be like, yes. Like, I feel deeply tied to her. And if I called her tomorrow, it wouldn't be weird or anything. But we speak, like, once a year, once every 6 months. Like, there's not a lot of interaction, but I still feel very tied to this person. Is that weird?
No, I don't think that's weird. I will say, I mean, you didn't, like, insist that you be part of this, though. You didn't make a call and be like, oh, I'd love to... be in your wedding. Oh, you did.
Well, here's the thing. Let me just give you a little bit of a plot twist of what happened. So even though I haven't seen this person in years, as fate would have it, when she did come to visit me in 2019, so March of 2019, 4 years ago, pre-pandemic, before we knew what ivermectin was and vector and mRNA, remember before all that stuff, there was a whole life we had, Will, a whole life that we had. And in that time she came to visit, she had a friend come from, I want to say they were living in Cocoa Beach, something like that. Okay. Melbourne. She had a friend from grad school. Well, this friend from grad school who lived in Melbourne ends up moving to Tampa. And they reach out to me after they met me. They moved to Tampa in 2020, so a year after my friend came. But I met the couple through my friend who's getting married. And then we became friends. Well, guess what? The couple then got married, invites my friend, invites me. We reconnect. We rekindle. Then she gets engaged and she's like, oh yeah, Ann is a close but not close friend. Does that make sense? So like, had she not come to visit that time and then brought this other person into my life, and then they got married and now we have like this whole mutual friend group in Tampa, I probably wouldn't have been invited. But I got back in her head. I got back in here.
I see.
So I got the invite and I got the bachelorette invite. Now, if I wouldn't come, I don't think it would be that big of a deal, but I think she felt it maybe necessary to at least extend an invite, and I appreciate that.
Okay. I mean, I still feel like, first of all, you've got too many people in your bridal party. I think you want it to be more intimate, 10 max.
It's a bridal party. It's just the bachelorette party.
But I thought the bachelorette parties were the wedding party.
Yes, but not necessarily. So I think she's only having like two or three bridesmaids, but a lot of the ladies will be coming to the bachelorette party.
Okay. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that necessarily. That's just always what I thought, was that it was whoever was in the party went to the bachelor parties.
Now, let me also just follow up with this. I looked up the venue of the wedding, and it took me to what I assume was the hood of Denver. I'm like, I don't think this is even an establishment. And then upon reading the invitation more thoroughly, because I like to gloss over important details, it's just at their house.
Oh, okay.
And which is cool, but when I looked at their house on Google Maps, I was like, this looks up and coming. Should I bring my
gun?
I got a gun. Should I bring my Glock 19 to the wedding? I don't know, Will. I don't know. I'll be there alone. I know that.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that makes a little more sense now, this conundrum. But I mean, yeah, I guess you're making a decision. I haven't had one of these circumstances yet with not getting a plus one. I've not used a plus one, but I've always got one.
All right, Will. No need to rub it in, Will. I understand. And every time with me, even when I'm in a relationship and they've met the person, they're still like, nah.
No. I mean, especially if you're traveling, you know, if it's not hyper local, like maybe I could see that. But if you're traveling, you got to travel by yourself. I mean, I guess people do it all the time, but it just seems like it would have been nice to.
I went to a wedding in October 21 and I didn't see a plus one. I reached out. And I just said, can I bring my mom? Because it was in California. And she said, nah. Like, you know, you think about someone who would just take up like the least amount of space and just be happy to be there. You know, will be my designated driver. Like the kind of people you want at your wedding, you know, moms, and they ooh and ah, and they're very pleasant. Especially when they're not, you know, responsible for anything. And even then, she's like, oh, you're coming from Tampa? No one traveled farther than I did for that wedding, and I came in alone.
Wow.
But thankfully, I befriended one of her cousins on the way in, and it was all right. But still, it was, you know, it's weird because it's like, riddle me this, Will. Why is that so, like, not frightening, but like you think about all the scary things we do. It's okay to like go to a restaurant by yourself, like a Chipotle or something. But when you have to go to like a function and there's real no imminent danger, like I'm not afraid these people are going to hurt me, but it's like really nerve wracking, even as someone who's like pretty sociable, like you or I, like to go to a wedding and have to just, you don't have that crutch. There's going to be moments where you're literally just standing with your wine, like,
yeah. Yep. not knowing what to say, not knowing anybody. Yeah, that is a
go to the back the 40th time, you know,
scary predicament. Yeah. And then it's like, you don't want to, what I've done in the past with that is just drink more, but then that can lead you to be like, oh, now I'm too drunk. I don't know if I can make conversation now. It's a difficult thing. That's why they should have given you a plus one. I mean, that's unfortunate.
But it's going to be good.
So let me ask you this, and I have a picture up on the screen right now.
I already know where this is going, by the way, and the answer is yes. But go ahead.
So on the invitation, this is an Indian wedding, as I've said, two Indian people, Dot, not Feather, are getting married, and on the invitation, as far as garb, it says traditional Indian or Western black tie. Those are my two options. So I was thinking, if I'm going to an Indian wedding, I will say their clothing is tremendous. I mean, it's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous.
It really is quite intricate and exquisite.
I would love to dress like that. However, being the current year of 2023, where we're at with, you know, cultural appropriation, et cetera, I'm not sure how it would go over.
I think you don't have a choice, actually. I think you should feel compelled to do that. It didn't say in the invitation, white people must dress Western, Indian people must dress in traditional Indian garb. Seems like they've left it quite open. I hope they're not asking you to read between the lines and be like, don't F this up. But I think that you should go traditional. I think you'll have more fun.
Yeah.
And you'll have more fun.
It looks.
So those are really the two reasons why I think you should do it.
Okay. I mean, I'm definitely going to think about it. I don't even know where to go to get those clothes.
Oh, I'll figure that out for you. No problem.
You're on it.
I am on it. Yes. Now, you may have to spend some, a moolah to get a custom fit. I don't even know what it's called, what the men wear. I know the women wear saris. I don't know if that's what, I don't know. But I don't know what it's called, the tunic kind of thing. Yep.
I know exactly. I don't know what it's called, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm sure I got some other Indian buddies that I could ask, and I'm sure they could set me up. And maybe I should ask them first. But they tend to live on the left a little bit side of the spectrum politically, and some of them do fall into the whatever nonsense kind of ideology is going on. So I don't want them to get mad at me. I'm almost afraid to ask.
That's not the right way to go about it. You ask always for forgiveness, never for permission. You know that. You know better than that. I will sort you out. I will be your Indian liaison, and I will figure something out for you, okay? Well, and you're going to love it. And you're going to do the bindi. You're going to do a dot right here.
Woo, man. It's a bold move. I was really thinking about it. I'm listening to this audiobook right now called Trust Me, I'm Lying by this dude, Ryan Holiday. He was a media manipulator.
Ryan Holiday.
Oh, you know Ryan. Okay, good.
He's big into the Stoics.
Yeah. I mean, this book in particular is about his time kind of working for American Apparel and kind of creating controversy and having blogs like...
Oh, the Tucker Max deal.
Yes.
He was the one that, that conspired that whole thing where he was like crossing out things on billboards, calling, making complaints, and making this media frenzy that ended up turning into a real thing. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and that was his job for many years. And it's a fascinating book. I don't know if you've ever read it, but definitely check it out. It's a really good addendum to Edward Bernays's propaganda that he kind of put out just like a modern.
He looks like Matt Heller to me. Do you see it?
I don't actually know if I've ever seen him. I've heard a few podcasts with him. Let me look him up. I guess
he looks exactly like Matt Heller.
Okay. It's like the long hair and beard?
Just the big blue eyes, dark hair, smile. Like, it's Matt Heller. Tall.
I'm using DuckDuckGo, so these are terrible results. It's just the book cover. I can't... Oh, I see him. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Beautiful eyes. You're right.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, I was listening to him, and part of it, he kind of tells you, breaks it down how to get coverage for how to start, you know, it gives you step by step of what to do. So I'm like, I would love to get some sort of media attention for this podcast. And what better way than to maybe drop an anonymous tip somewhere to the local news organization that local radio personality is culturally appropriating Indian garb. And because they don't even have to know that I'm, you know, at a wedding, an Indian wedding. I could just be going out on a Friday night or whatever and have the dot and have everything, give it a little anonymous tip. And then, you know, there's some local publications here who would probably jump all over that.
But yeah, there's people I can complain to. Just tell me who to call.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So I like this idea even more. Whether I actually have the balls enough to do it, I don't know. But I'm definitely going to look into it. So I think I would like, you know, the listeners, the watchers here, leave in your comments. Is it okay for me to wear Indian garb in 2023, knowing the heat that's going on with cultural appropriation?
Right. When's the wedding again?
It's this Saturday, so I'm really up against...
You don't have time?
I have time.
Will, we gotta get on this!
I mean, we're coming up against... The clock is kind of ticking here.
I thought it was in August or something.
No.
I
thought it was this weekend. No, it's like Saturday. It's the Taylor Swift concert. That's how I'm going to be involved with Taylor Swift, is being stuck in traffic. Yeah.
Will.
Yeah, so it's going to be close, but I would like to know, leave your comments down there. Can I dress in Indian garb? Yes or no? I have a feeling people that listen to this show are going to say absolutely, but there might be some people out there who say absolutely not. You shouldn't do that. There was that video of the guy, I forget who he was working for, but he had a traditional Mexican, I don't even know if it's traditional, but he had the poncho, he had the big hat, sombrero, and he had a fake mustache that kind of came down, and maracas. And he was on a college campus and was asking, you know, the kids if it was okay. And they were all like, absolutely not. This is terrible. And then he went to the Mexican neighborhood around the block and they were all like, no, you look good. I like it.
I don't want to be Russian, but you understand. I like the mustache. You look good.
Yeah, you look good. And it's kind of tough because, those videos, they're edited. So, I mean, maybe there was somebody in the Mexican neighborhood who was like, take that off. That's offensive to me. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. But it's hard to, you know, you can make video do whatever you want it to do. You just take a few clips that show your point, and then you take a few clips that don't. And then you get rid of those and edit the ones that do together. And then you have a video and you're able to kind of manipulate, you know, a public opinion with that. But I thought that was kind of interesting. Maybe I could do it at the wedding. Do my own. Kind of talk to my lefty friends before the wedding, and then actually at the wedding talk to Auntie Petrinka, whose room I stole, and ask her how she thinks I look. That would be kind of fun.
Everyone tells you no.
Scott says it's cancel time. Cancel time. I don't know. I don't think so. Paulski says, would you go to a Taylor Swift or a DJ Hum Sauce concert? I don't know who DJ Hum Sauce is, but I'm presuming that's you.
I didn't show you the videos of me DJing.
Oh, I did see some, yeah.
My DJ name for right now until a better one comes along is DJ Hum Sauce.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not good, but everyone else's suggestions were worse, so we're going with mine for now.
Okay.
Can I tell you about a video that was very disturbing that I saw today?
Sure.
And it was such a... There's rarely a time where I see something that's jarring anymore. I'm sure you have a similar experience where you feel like you've seen it all. Like, you're like, I've seen people who, you know, you can take a penis and then make it disappear and make it a reappear. And you've just seen a lot of things. You think you're living in, you know, a simulation, but it's reality. So there's very few things where I see something and I go, well, that is disturbing. So, the opioid crisis, let's just start there.
Uh-huh.
There's a video circulating of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure how she identifies. She's just either a crack addict. It's in San Francisco. More likely a fentanyl, addicted to fentanyl. And she just gave birth in broad daylight on the street. And there's just a baby on the cement, just... umbilical cord, and a few people are taping. And the most jarring thing about it all is that the person filming, you just see people just walking by. Like, what's happening isn't happening. And I'm like, these people are just, I mean, what are they supposed to do? You know, you don't know if the woman has AIDS or whatever, but like,
you someone call. Just gave birth. I mean, call 911. Yeah, we are turning into a third world country.
It was really disturbing to see something that's supposed to be like so sacred and beautiful, like giving birth. And it's just on the side of the road. This woman just like had her pants down. She's completely like obviously incoherent.
Yeah.
And there's like some people tapping the baby, like trying to wipe off. It's just, I'm like, did anyone call an ambulance? Like, this baby has no chance. I'm surprised it was even alive, to be honest with you, but really disturbing stuff. So I highly recommend checking it out on Twitter. Just look up San Francisco woman give birth from side of the road, like on the sidewalk, broad daylight. Like, I don't know. It moved me in a way I didn't want to be moved.
Yeah, so. I can't do those. I know that it's happening, and some people send me stuff sometimes, and I just go, I can't even watch. I don't have I could probably watch someone get their head blown off, but I can't watch that. That's just.
Well, you see, like, the actual birth, if that's what you're concerned
about.
No,
it's not that.
Right. Born.
It's just the inhumanity of that situation. Yeah. Like, I almost, like, this is kind of weird to say, and I've seen some, you know, animal type of behavior, and humans are animals, of, you know, just violence and stuff. And that makes me go, geez, Christ, like, that's terrible. But stuff like that just is, I don't know, it's so sad. And it just makes me kind of cringe. It makes me sick to my stomach. So I don't like seeing that stuff. We are really turning it. I've said it all the time. In my private times, I see stuff even here. I'm like, we're a third world country. It's so crazy how far we've fallen as a collective society and a group of, I guess, that we call Americans. I guess really since COVID is when it really, after that, it's just, and the politicians that live there and just, you know, sanction it and go, yeah, this is fine. We don't want to, you know, intrude on anybody. And it's like, I don't know. I think you might need to step in. I'm glad I live here in Florida, at least, and not in California. It's a mess. Yeah. I mean, it's really sad. And the sad thing is, too, is watching people make the same mistake over and over again with their votes. I don't know if voting matters. I don't know. I guess that's democracy, right? You love democracy all the time. When it's good or bad, people don't. Obviously, they only like it when it goes their way. But yeah, it's very disturbing, those videos. Someone sent me one. It might even been the same lady. It was a toothless woman, and she was talking about how she was pregnant, didn't know how far along she was, and it was clear that she was severe drug user, and it just made me feel gross.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird that I like to be moved by stuff. So even though it was like disturbing, it was like I would recommend it because it'll make you feel something. It'll make you go, something right. And it's one of those things where it's like you don't necessarily feel bad for the woman. You feel bad for the kid, but then you kind of don't because it's just a stranger, but you kind of just go like, I think the most disturbing thing was just how nonchalant everybody else was around it. Like it was just someone walking their dog, but there was a baby that had just been born and there's just people walking by. Like,
it's broken window theory. I mean, there's psychology behind it where if you let, you know, cities kind of fall apart and degrade, and you know, you start seeing broken windows, people are just going to start breaking windows and think that that's okay to do. And that's what's happening in these cities, except it's not windows, it's human beings. It's really disturbing. And it's under the guise too of empathy and love and compassion for these people and not putting them in jail or, you know, arresting them for crimes. And I don't know, but I see stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, we just need a strong man to come in and just take over. And maybe fascism isn't so bad if it cleans up the streets and keeps people on some sort of beaten path. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things I go back and forth with, because it's like you want to have some sort of compassion, because I've been learning a bit more about drug abuse lately, because it's never been something that's affected me or anyone I've been close to. So it's like, it's hard for me to understand. It's like, well, just, you know, I'm like, just David Goggins, like, just don't do it. You know, I don't understand it on the level of like, you know, it's someone trying to deal with trauma that they experienced as a kid. You know, I'm very lucky. I had a very, you know, for better lack of a better word, a very blessed upbringing. You know, no one molested me. There was, I would never went hungry. My dad didn't put my head through a wall. So like for me to be like, why do people do drugs? It's like, I can't relate on that level. Mm. But then on the other hand, it's like also not my problem. I don't want to see it. Like you need to deal with yourself. Like, and then it's the issue of like, what does this do to society? Like you're poisoning the well for everyone. If people rely on a certain place for tourism and now there's all these homeless people, now no one wants to come here. Now it's, you know, it just becomes more pervasive. And also, and much, I think you kind of align with a lot of libertarian values. You're like, why do I have to be responsible for your F ups?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry that you were dealt a bad hand, but you know, I've been dealt a bad hand in a lot of ways too.
Whatever, oh, everybody's maybe, got their things. You
know? So like in terms of defending myself, I'm like a 5'3" woman who's like 115 pounds. Like it's not in the car. I'm not gonna be a good fighter, you know, for all intents and purposes. If I need to get into an altercation with a man, I'm gonna lose. So everyone's been dealt a bad hand in some way, so I'm just like, deal with your stuff. But you know, it's like, where do you draw the line between compassion, tough love, and what's an actual solution? Like, I could feel compassion for you all day and throw money at the situation. Is it even going to help? Do I get points for just being nice, or do I get points for actually trying to solve a problem? And sometimes solving a problem means letting it go on until its natural conclusion. Maybe it's a DNR, you know, don't resuscitate. Maybe that's the solution that no one wants to hear. I don't know. So
yeah, I don't either. I'm with you to a certain extent. I think people should just kind of take accountability for their own actions. But I mean, it's terrible. I don't even know how we even came here. Oh yeah, you just said you saw a depressing video.
And babies being born on a sidewalk.
It's awful. We're a third world country, and that's the natural. I don't think it's going to be like, even if there is a war, and God, I hope there isn't. But I don't think, like, let's say the United States got in hot war, China, like, I don't think China would come over here and colonize, like, if they won. I don't think they would colonize. I think we would just kind of get, you know, maybe shelled for a while, and something would happen where the power structure would break.
I think they would colonize.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe they would, but not, it wouldn't be like ground troops just over here and completely like taking over. It would take time. Maybe it would become their territory, but that's a long trip. I mean, they're over on the other side of the world. So I think it would just kind of, I think we would just degrade faster economically and kind of become like a Venezuela or a Chile or something like that. We would still have our own thing going on, but we just wouldn't have that economic power that we once had. And I think that's probably the future. And our politicians happily do it right now, where they import, literal people, and they invest in silly things. They're bankrupting our country, and they're doing it, you know, just out of compassion and love for people. And yeah, sure, they're going to get some power out of it too.
Yeah,
temporarily get some voters, etc. But you know, they don't care. They're very short sighted. It's just to get the mission that needs to be done. I did a video about this, by the way, sort of about this yesterday. About the getting involved in politics and why you shouldn't, and why you're going to go to jail if you do, and to keep your nose clean, whatever side you're on. Don't join Antifa. Don't join the Proud Boys. Just keep your nose clean. Stay out of it, because you're going to end up in jail. You're just going to be foot soldiers for these idiots who hold power in this country. That's it. That's the show. Stay tuned. Frank Ferrer's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, if you're listening on podcast, thank you. Subscribe, give it 5 stars, give it a thumbs up. willsyoutube.com, hmbradio.com, willspodcast.com, home_made_man. If we're on a Hummel, you can hear on the Bubble of Love Sponge Show on, oh, she's banned from Twitch, you'll find it. And you can find me on the Johnny B Show, 102.5 The Bone. Have a great day. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.